finish the message on Psalm 139, and I'm going to begin in verse 13. Man, I should have brought my reading glasses. Oh my goodness. Things are changing. Yep. Thank you, David. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born, and every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. This is the most difficult part of this passage, probably the part of the passage that is most misunderstood. Maybe the parts that we bypass, and it's this. O God, if only you would destroy the wicked, get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme you, your enemies misuse your name. O Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with total hatred, for your enemies are my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there's any destructive way in me, and lead me in your way everlasting. Beginning in verse 13, the idea here is that God created our inmost being. I don't know if you've ever had this thought before. I wish somebody understood me. I wish they got me. I don't know if you have ever had seasons or maybe times, maybe you have multiple moments like this in your every day, is maybe when you are in an emotional upheaval or breakdown, or people don't understand you or you don't feel understood. I think we all go through seasons where we don't feel understood. But God understands us. Do you know that God gets you? He understands your thought processes. He knows the inner workings of your heart. The idea here is that what the psalmist is saying is that God created you, that in your mother's womb, that God was part of that process, not just shaping and forming you physically, but your most innermost parts, your emotions, your heart, your thought processes, and delighting in every part of that. And so this God who is there in the beginning, shaping and forming, how much more he understands you, understands how you get to where you go often in your thought process, in your thinking. He understands what pushes your buttons. He understands what sends you into a spiral. He understands what brings you joy. He understands every part of you. Now, it doesn't mean that God advocates or says that every part of the way we think and our thought processes are redemptive and good and beautiful. It's not saying that. It's saying that God understands. He understands every part of us and how we get to where we often go. I think part of that part of ourselves, that deeper part of ourselves, reflects God's character, and some not so much. But God understands all of it. And this is where I think the Father invites us to dialogue. He invites us to come and reason, to come and be honest with him about the inner workings of our heart, understanding that God gets us. He understands you and I at a depth and at a level that you and I don't. I don't know, in your family, your friends, maybe as parents, maybe you have seen this as your kids dialogue with each other. sometimes you're overhearing a conversation and somebody says something and maybe there's some tone and then your other child spirals and they take it in the wrong direction, or maybe they take it in the direction that it was intended and it just spirals and you're watching this thing unravel and you're like, and you try to mediate, you try to bring some clarity. And you say to your kids, or maybe you say to a friend or family, or maybe a spouse, and you say, how did you get to where you are? I said this. Why did you take it this way? You ever have those conversations? Huh? Do you ever ask yourself, why did I take it in that direction? If it wasn't intended in that direction, why did I take it in that direction? Why did I take it so personal? Why did I spiral? Why did... God understands. And I think that's where God invites us to dialogue with Him and say, okay, God, you created my inmost being. You know me. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Help me understand myself. When I was in college, I began that journey of self-discovery. There was a lot of things about myself I didn't understand. I could see the times and the places that I would spiral, or all of a sudden I find myself in a dark place, or discouraged, or maybe filled with despair. And I would, there were certain struggles that I was beginning to notice and face in my life, and began to read books like Healing for Damaged Emotions and books on release from shame. There were certain books that I was gravitating to. Why? Because I was trying to get understanding of myself. I was asking myself the question, Lord, why do I do what I do? What makes me tick? What pushes my buttons? Why do I go to the places I go? And I was going to the Father to help me understand myself so I could better understand Him. You know, whether you are a literal creationist, you believe that God literally created the world in 7 days, and maybe the earth is young, 4,500 to 5,000 years old, or you believe that God created through multi-billion year process, a very complex process, the premise is the same, is that God created. That's the purpose of Genesis, communicating God created. That He was involved in the creation process, whether it be 5,000 years, He did not stop creating through that whole time period, or God was creating through billions of years, He hasn't stopped creating. And He continues the work of creation. So this idea of the psalmist saying, you knit me together in my mother's womb, God was involved creating, designing something beautiful. The psalmist is giving the Father glory for His good creative work that He did in his mother's womb, acknowledging that God's fingerprints were all over him, that He was there, that He was present, speaking into that process. As I ponder this, I have to think about the kids that are born in situations that maybe are far from ideal. I think about kids that suffer FAS, fetal alcohol syndrome. The mother is using alcohol or using drugs during her pregnancy. The child is then born with a handicap. They're disabled. They will forever struggle because of FAS. What then? Is God involved in that process too? Does He say that that child is fearfully and wonderfully made? I think so. Is it God's ideal? No. Sin is present. It's affecting that child. That child will forever live with the consequences of that mother's choices. But does that mean that God is not delighting in that child and the fact that is still created in God's image? I think God is still saying, and it's still true, for those children, declaring you are fearfully and wonderfully made. I think about the kids that are born in situations where they are not surrounded by love and affirmation in the womb. Maybe kids who are unwanted children or not planned pregnancies, and all of a sudden this mother is alone and unsupported, and the struggle and the temptation and whatever that mother might go through during that 9-month period to abort the child or to adopt the child or what have you because she's maybe incapable or something, and that child is living surrounded with that sense, that emotion, that struggle. Even in that situation, I believe this text to be true, that the Father is present, knitting, shaping, forming, saying, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. In fact, no less than you and I are fearfully and wonderfully made. So no matter how FAS or ADHD or disabled, deformed, imperfect, or flawed we might be, this is true. Father says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. The psalmist said, I know that full well. And I think that there's many who will never come to that place of self-discovery where they know full well that they're fearfully and wonderfully made. Some will go to their grave not fully understanding this truth. And by God's grace for the rest of us, we will continue to grow into this understanding just how fearfully and wonderfully made we are. And so may we reflect that same beauty to others that we come across to, no matter what struggles they live with, no matter how in the margins they might be, that we extend that same grace and favor to those that we meet. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. That we treat people with that same dignity that the Father treats us. Both my brother and I were conceived outside of marriage. My mom grew up in an environment where teenage pregnancy was just unheard of. In fact, she was not supported. She was sent off to Winnipeg to have her baby without support of the parents or friends. Had to go to the agency, do that in secret, and when you're done, then come back. In fact, when she gave birth to my brother, she felt that she needed to adopt him, and so she brought him to a judge and said, I want to give up my baby for adoption. And the judge, very discerning and perceptive, looked at her and said, I don't think you want to give up your child. I'm going to give you 2 weeks to think about it. You come back in 2 weeks. If you still want to give up your child for adoption, then I'll sign the papers. I'll release your child. But you need to think about it for 2 weeks. She came back 2 weeks later and said, no, I will not. I will not adopt. And I thank God for that. I thank God for that man, because what would I have done without my brother? He was a gift to me. I too was born or conceived before my parents were married. And so both of us, and I'm talking to my parents, both of us were born into this environment where we were unexpected. We were not planned. It was not a healthy marriage. It was not a healthy relationship. It was tumultuous. It was full of angst. And there we were. I can't imagine what my mom went through carrying both my brother and I without any emotional support, physical support, emotional support, shamed, abandoned. I don't know what she was feeling through that 9 months, the ebbs and flows of her own emotional struggle. But even though at times we were not surrounded by physical and emotional and spiritual favor, I know that God was present. Surrounded us with his favor and his pleasure and delight. I sometimes look back and I wonder, how did my brother and I ever encounter Jesus? How were we raised in the environment that we were raised in? And both of us were drawn to Christ in our teenage years and had profound encounters with Jesus. Both ended up in full-time ministry. Not that that's higher or better than any other, but there was something God stirred in our hearts and drew us to Him. I can't fathom it. It was a gift of God's grace. I wonder who was praying for us. Definitely my grandfather, grandparents, and some relatives were praying for us. I don't know if that connects with you. I don't know if that is similar to any of your stories. But maybe you know others that maybe are in that same situation. Maybe they're carrying a child and they're doing so as a single parent, as a single mother. Maybe you know others who maybe have grown up in that environment, who have never known this abiding presence of a loving Father surrounding them and loving them. This is, again, another opportunity for us as a church to surround, to come around, to immerse others, the people we meet, with this love of the Father. It was a few weeks ago, I'm going to ask Stuart and Donna to come up, and they're going to sing a song, No Longer a Slave to Fear, came to my mind as I was preparing, and a number of, I would say probably a couple of months ago, God used this song to kind of touch a deeper part of me around my own story, and particularly around the environment that I was raised in and grew up in, and even as my mom carried me those 9 months, just this understanding that God was surrounding me in that time. And so I want you to think about this song as it relates to Psalm 139. Let's respond just with our hearts.
Surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Child of God, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, You have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into Your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Two things, Lord. We pray for those that maybe need to be reminded, even right now, that You surround us. As as a mother surrounds a baby those 9 months, we pray, Lord, that we would have this deep understanding of you surrounding us by your Spirit, that you are present and near, even right now. And we pray for us as a church, as you call us to be a community that surrounds those in our community, in our greater community, with love and with care and support and encouragement and the love of Christ. We pray that you would help us as a church to do that in greater measure. We give these things to you, Lord. Amen.